got some The Batman-style opening logos here in all red. Whoa, all right. We seem to go through cycles where it's cool to show the title, maybe small in the corner, unassuming, and then years where it's way cooler to just have it at the end and not show it in the beginning at all, and now we've come back around with Joker and The Batman where the title card is overstated and imposing. Ave Maria is one of those timeless pieces that, depending on the context, can be beautiful, tragic, or disturbing. Or all of the above when used in film, and the way it's contrasted against Riddler's heavy breathing is superb. It's up there with Louis Armstrong's rendition of What a Wonderful World. Now that's a shot, and an entrance. The way your brain starts filling in the blanks to realize he's been standing behind him this entire scene. Oh, okay then. It's that kind of movie, with villains who curdle my blood with their yells. Did anyone else think Dano was going to be Hush after the first teasers? The mask looked like a version of bandages, and Hush's connection to Riddler really made me think some other secret cameo was the Riddler. So hey, maybe it would have been cool, but they played it straight and Dano kills it. Or him. Kills him. There's a shot that defines this Batman, it's this. A warm incandescent light bulb creating a distorted color light as if the darkness is too powerful while rain drowns out any other sound, making what was old, new again.
Hidden in the chaos is the element that I'm there to. 2 years of nights have turned me into a nocturnal animal.
So we're getting exposition about how long he's been Batman, getting to hear his not over-the-top bat growl, and also there's something intimidating about him dressed in a hoodie and hat rather than his suit when this is the one night he could get away with it. Yeah, Drophead doesn't even need a gun, that's a petrifying mask.
But they don't know where I am. It's not just a call, it's a warning.
I mean, that's genius. It's a side that we've never seen fully explored by the Bat Signal. These constant push-ins on darkness making even us question if the Batman is lurking in the shadows. Hot damn, Batfleck had his own level of brutality that was new, but Pat's style is ruthless and grounded in reality.
I'm vengeance.
Okay, badass good guy, I think. We'll get to it. But when you think about the full line that Batman usually says, I am vengeance is just the first part of it. So it's another way of pointing out how early he is in his journey. And these wide shots remind us that Batman is just a dude. Sure, a rich dude with training and some dope weapons, but also just a dude.
Please don't hurt me.
And that's another thing this one does a little differently. You see a guy dressed up as a bat, you're not assuming he's the most stable of cables. Not to mention he gets basically a Vader introduction, and who could say if he's a good guy or a bad guy?
Freak.
This guy over here really liked that one. Nah, you got him, Martinez. He never even saw that coming.
He was alive when it was cut off. Ecchymosis.
Another reason I love this Batman, he could have said bruising, but screw you, keep up, get a dictionary if you want to play along. You know someone in production knew putting an owl on that card was going to spawn 15 videos about how the Court of Owls is the true villain. There's so much Batman lore, it's almost impossible to avoid.
What does a liar do when he's dead? He lies still.
Ha, so quick. There's some of that genius bat detective I've always heard so much about.
Happy f***ing Halloween.
Jude says that to me every year.
Good fella.
In case it wasn't clear, this is a very personal story for Bruce. He may not even be identifying as Batman yet, he's simply vengeance. He's still punishing the streets for his parents' death, and now this case just became even more personal since he sees himself in this kid who also lost his parent. I don't know that they could have picked a better song for the Batman. Batman is a long-suffering dude, and what encompasses that more than Kurt Cobain recounting the time he was homeless? Wait, Bruce is a billionaire. It's not narration, it's Bat Diary. Bat Journal. This is making me feel uneasy. Do we see everything inside a circle? Is my world round? The first time we see him without the mask is a look. It's très derelict.
If I can't change things here, if I can't have an effect, I don't care what happens to me.
Sounds noble, it might even be noble, and this is a common criticism of Batman, but the idea that someone this rich thinks the only way he can do anything is to dress up like a bat and punch people is... But more to the point, this scene reminds us that Batman is not doing okay, especially this early in his career. In the end, his actions are probably a net good, but as the absurdly good Harley Quinn show points out, Bruce is dealing with his trauma in just about the most unhealthy way possible. And the people of Gotham should be thanking their lucky stars he doesn't have Wanda Maximoff's powers. They are really selling the nocturnal animal aesthetic. This is definitely the most vampiric Bruce Wayne we've ever had. Pale, can't handle bright lights, sparkles in sunlight, sleeps in a coffin, you know, the usual. Excellent movie, glad to see Riddler's a fan.
Thumb drive.
That's so many levels of fun, I think I like the Riddler more than Batman.
The drive. It sent out the photos from my account.
I mean, he did put a drive with an actual thumb attached to it into his personal computer that was connected to the internet, so... That's on him. I love Jim Gordon, but I think the Riddler knows what kinds of goofs he's dealing with.
Never get in there without a warrant. Yeah.
Pattinson reached down deep for his inner Keanu and nails it.
That little suit's gonna get awful.
What? Mine or yours?
Seriously, Batman deserves to get these lines.
It would be extremely painful.
You're a big guy.
For you.
Another nod to his youth, immaturity, and overall unwellness. He has no idea what this place looks like, where the exits are, what kind of firepower the guards are bringing. He just walks in, genuinely not caring if he dies. And he's good, so it comes off badass, but it should be clear he's taking unnecessary risks. And I like that he's not completely infallible like some previous Batman. He takes some hits in every fight.
Whoa, take it easy, sweetheart.
I think after King DeVito's version, I'd never have the guts to step into this role, but Ray does a good job. I appreciate that they cast two bland and completely unattractive leads as bats and cats. Really makes us feel grounded.
It's vengeance here, yeah. You don't bite.
Very into his sort of name getting around. Bat-Bat does the slow, creepy bat eyes like a champ. Oh no. Now I'll have to go talk to that attractive woman, darn it. Being Batman is awful and I'm totally doing it for the city. I know it's just like Focus Puller 101, but I'll never not be impressed by a rack focus to someone through glass at an uneven and changing distance, and they do it twice in 30 seconds. Okay, cool, at least Bruce decides to stop spying once. Oh crap, never mind. But hey, how else was he supposed to make the Catwoman connection? Nah, don't spy on people changing. It was for research, for the city, for the saving people. Huh, cats do always land on their feet. Cat parkour. Catcore. Parkour? I love that the lighting in this movie is just sort of rude. Like, stop shining lights in my eyes. Oh, you're transporting me to another world where everyone is uncomfortable and things are terrible all the time. Got it. The Catwoman is doing some legit cat burglaring. And then she turns into a real live cat's hybrid monster to kick at bats in only a way Neo and a million Smiths could truly appreciate. Oh, snap! She's got a future as a running back.
Can cats play foosball?
It's hard to sneak up on a cat, but you know what animal has even better hearing than a cat? Batman.
She did seem upset. Back at your place.
I guess at least he comes clean.
Took my phone.
My gut reaction was, who leaves home without their phone? But then I remembered she was a cat burglar, so actually that makes sense. At least the Joker had the decency to do a horizontal video. But hey, vertical video has become a thing, and this would actually be less believable because the Riddler doesn't care about filmic integrity. Realism!
You got a lot of cats.
Astute observations. I like that this version of Riddler is genuinely disturbing. Solid Seven meets Saw vibes.
You make it sound like he had it coming.
He was a cop.
Whoa there, Batman. Pauses like that will get you some serious accusations. Although it's sort of funny, the common theme in Batman is that every single cop except for Jim Gordon is bad, but Batman still doesn't say ACAB, that all cops aren't Batman. Nice touch to make the letters look carved into the card as if he was just pushing a little too hard.
Well, you're a real sweetheart.
Compliments!
Kenzie, William, he's an off-duty cop.
See, he aren't Batman.
These guys have a little problem with eye contact, don't they?
Aw, because she's so pretty? Oh, right. Yeah. Hey, just so we're all on the same page, they can always tell. You think you're being sly, you're not. I love Peter Sarsgaard. Don't get him confused with the Skarsgards. He's not one, although he could be because he's also very pretty. That's it. A-plus casting. I mean, it's a little unfair because John Turturro has never been miscast, but you get the point. Because Irving comes off so soft and gentle, it makes him even more intimidating. What does he do when no one's looking to become so feared? Cheer up, man, you're married to Maggie Gyllenhaal. This sounds like Ave Maria in a minor key, which is amazing. While the original adds to the creepiness of the opening scene, this minor key makes the whole thing seem sad and somber. Ha! That's how you know they were filming in the car. That's an insider note for you. Pay attention next time in a movie where people are in a car and ask yourself where the headrests are. You'll never not notice it again. I'm sure someone much smarter than me has done a very interesting deep dive into how much the Saw movies have impacted film. If not, someone should. I don't get tired of people hiding in the dark and then emerging all creepy.
Riddler's not after you. You're not corrupt.
Dang it, I love how confidently he says it. Jeffrey Wright is one of the good ones. Actors, that is. I appreciate the efforts to make Bruce gaunt and off-putting, but he's still given emo Kurt Cobain, which honestly works really well. And this is probably one of the only scenes Pattinson didn't have to prepare for. It's gotta be hard to be a young heartthrob.
I couldn't go to no hospital, so we showed up on his doorstep, operated right on the dining room table.
Sure, if you read The Long Halloween, you already knew this, but I really like the way this movie slowly rolls out information. It builds a story that exists outside of the comics. Always using and reusing songs in such interesting ways. Ave Maria and Something in the Way pop up throughout the film.
Get out of the car! Get out of the car and show your hands!
I know they have to do this, but everyone knows the driver isn't the perpetrator. You still have to, like, cross the easy stuff off the list first, just so it sounds silly, you know? You don't ask for the keys or a battering ram to a door before you just, like, turn the knob. Big fan of picturing the Riddler sitting there writing out every single ring like a middle school girl writing her crush's full name. They all do that, right? Me. I did that. Colleen, I'm sorry, I was so weird.
No one ever gave me a chance.
Great foreshadowing to Riddler's somewhat, well, let's just be honest here, incel vibe we get later in the movie. Very poor me. And I'm not saying he hasn't had a rough go of it, but his conclusion of what he's owed due to his suffering is so self-indulgent it almost takes away any sympathy I actually have for him.
But when it's denied, it's violence.
Snacks?
Justice.
Oh, justice, totally.
What is the price for your blind eye?
Snacks. This one's definitely snacks.
Bribes.
Right. Bribes. I guess this is why I'm not the Batman.
So much bigger than you could ever imagine. It's the whole system.
Even knowing he'll die either way, he's still more afraid of the Jesus than the Riddler. Defense of the indefensible time. How does Batman survive an IED 8 inches from his face? Number one, he's vengeance, Batman. Number two, frame by frame, you can see that he does put his arms up and his gauntlets are really strong. Once again, his hubris and immaturity get the best of him. He got blowed up with a million cops watching and now, well, now he's in hell.
Coulson's blood is on his hands.
Maybe it's on yours.
What'd you say?
I love when people accuse someone of something and then the person goes, "No, you," and then the original accuser acts like they just spit on their mother's graves. It's a trope that never ceases to make me smile. He lets Jim push him around because he trusts him.
He's saying Kinsey Moonlights for the Penguin. I Moonlights as a car.
Aha! Not just a great detective, a great wordsmith. Opening fire in the police building with civilians right there. All cops aren't Batman. Look at that snorri cam shot with the cop just about to grab him. Top notch. Ouch. Cool landing, but ouch. But honestly, this wingsuit is just awesome, and I love that when he gets back up, he's not just fine, he's hurt.
Could have at least pulled that punch, man.
I did.
Do you want to move in? Let's follow.
Gordon has always been on Batman's side, but getting to see them finally actually work together is super satisfying.
Is this how you get your kicks, hon?
I mean, kinda? IRL Batman would not be well received. Seriously, they changed the Batmobile game here. It's a real Dodge Charger, but also hyper-real in a way that I still believe someone could build.
This guy's crazy!
And he seems to really enjoy that. Just one of the coolest Batmobiles ever. There's something so crazy and realistic about the SUV getting obliterated without a camera cutting to the full angle of the crash. Like, it's not the most interesting thing happening right now. You know, brake checking and then taking the hit from a semi would not have been my first thought, but dang it if it doesn't work like gangbusters. Well, that's just some Mad Max stuff right there. Badass good guy. Badass good. There's something so perfectly Batman about this score. Michael Giacchino is always a win. So pounding, so relentless.
Hell is this? Good cop, bad cop?
The wordplay from these baddies is really something to behold.
Come on!
Open your eyes!
Jeffrey Wright is always a win.
Jesus, look at you two. World's greatest detectives!
I like that the Penguin could be the one who came up with all of Batman's alts.
No habla español, fellas?
Do me a favor, shut up!
Okay, let's not sleep on Colin Farrell. I legit don't know how this is him. Have you heard his real accent? It is not this. How is he doing this? Usually when you put a bunch of silly makeup on an actor and tell him to ham it up, that's what you get. A hammy mess. But Colin became Oz. It sort of hurts my brain. Ah, so that's why they call him the Penguin. The Waddle.
No guns. Yeah, man, that's your thing.
Jeffrey Wright is also the man.
Drop heads.
Well, that's right on the money. Even in the fictional world of Gotham, we gotta have a derogatory name for people struggling with addictions.
His next victim is Bruce Wayne.
And I was just snapped back to reality because I entirely forgot Gordon doesn't know Bat's identity. Says something about their friendship. Also, it's easy to be like, how did Bats not figure out he was the target after all the orphan talk? But I think it speaks to how little Battison thinks of himself as Bruce Wayne. He clearly has avoided being a public figure, and at this point, vengeance seems closer to his true identity while Bruce Wayne is the disguise.
Something terrible is gonna happen!
I'm afraid it already has, sir.
The editing here is executed so well. Often I can guess when timeline trickery is happening, but I was fully bamboozled until she picked up the phone. It happened an hour ago and he was too busy Batmaning. Solid move, Alf. Some real quick thinking.
Is there anyone else to notify? Next of kin?
No.
It's just me.
Goodness, it finally hit him. Pat Bat conveys the realization so perfectly. Maybe you didn't see him as your only family, but the feeling was not mutual. Ah, you might not have realized it, but Chiquino is coming in again with the Something in the Way motif. I know it's in a different key, but the whole score is clearly pulling from those chord changes. I remember reading a rumor that Matt Reeves was like, "Rob, man, you gotta get jacked with this role," and Rob was like, "No." Apparently Rob Bat was joking and we all just took it as fact. Anyway, Robert Pattinson's workout routine. Well, smart way to get his attention, since clearly she knows he's creeping.
Your friend got involved with the wrong people. She didn't know any better. Your choices have consequences.
You know, whoever the hell you are, you obviously grew up rich.
Oof, nailed him. And because, yeah, that is definitely the outlook of someone who never really had to struggle. Even if you want to give him Bale Bat's backstory, he chose that life. It's not the same as having to make choices no one would even consider just to survive.
I want to know why a guy like Falcone would owe you anything.
Because he's my father!
Well, that was a surprise. They played that creepy line well.
Come on, vengeance.
Be careful. That name might stick. Just ask She-Hulk. It's not really love. Camaraderie? Just enjoying some smooches? Let's call it superhero love. Oh, maybe I spoke too soon on Hush. Dude is playing pool in sunglasses at night. What else do you need to know about him?
When fear isn't enough.
You ask nicely? Could never hurt to try. My mom always said you get more flies with honey than bullets.
You say, Salvatore Moroni got my father killed.
Again, Bats is too emotionally wrecked to think straight. Logical Bats would, bare minimum, take this guy's word with a grain of salt. I finally noticed the Carmine has those comic accurate scars on his cheek.
I could teach you how to fight, but I wasn't equipped to take care of you. You needed a father.
It's funny that while Matt Reeves and friends absolutely did skip the death of the Waynes, which, obviously, thank you, he still gave us a fake out with the young boy in the beginning who ends up also losing his father.
I thought I'd mastered all that. I'm not afraid to die. Losing somebody I care about.
What a simple way of putting into words who this Bruce Wayne is. Too short-sighted to even see he still has things to fear. They went through this entire beat in a few minutes in Batman Begins, but it's got way more impact here. And it's all of it for this character. This is what makes Batman, Batman. He doesn't care if he's hurt or killed, but knows that if he is, he can no longer take care of those around him. So he has to balance it. Big fan of the janky looking bat signal in general. It almost makes it more unnerving, serving that fear Bats was talking about in the beginning. And it's clearly just a mangled piece of metal shoved into a spotlight, so it makes sense. There is something immensely disturbing about not seeing it, but just hearing it. Theater of the mind can often be worse. Truly awful.
We work for him.
There it is. Of course you do. Have you seen this guy? Simmons demands respect.
I got 9 of them.
Love it. But do you lose a life when someone saves you? Do Final Destination rules apply? Man, is this a nod to the Adam West Batman with him and Robin climbing up the buildings? I could be wrong, but I half expected Green Hornet and Kato to make a cameo through the window. That would be terrifying. Anytime he acts like an actual bat, hanging off the ceiling, hanging off the earth. I know movies are more than the sum of their parts, more than the cool set pieces, but dang it, is this an awesome singular part. The entire fight being lit by only muzzle flashes? In theaters, this is one of those, okay, this movie has slid into my top 50 moments. Also, obviously getting shot sucks, but I'm not convinced that Batman is doing anyone any favors by just breaking all the bones in their faces. And like, Batarangs? Just ask Batman. Oh, maybe I spoke too soon on him already having the scratches.
Why are you with Zorro over here?
Tight nod to the character that often inspired Bruce Wayne to create the Batman. In some of the earlier versions of Batman, his parents were shot after taking him to the 1940 film The Mask of Zorro. But if you do the math for this movie, Bruce Wayne's parents were killed in 2001, so Thomas and Martha were killed when Bruce was 8. The Legend of Zorro came out in 2005, meaning he'd be around 12 when the movie was in theaters, meaning this Bruce Wayne could have totally been inspired by Antonio Banderas. Or even more likely, if it were me, I would have been inspired to find my own Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Just keep him up there!
And look at this, you can actually see Riddler in the window taking pics. It's the correct angle and everything. 30 minutes in, that's epic. Yeah, I'd be pissed that I didn't get to do it too. How is it that everything he does is creepy? Literally, everything. Dano! I don't know, pretty crappy cappuccino art if you ask me.
What chain of evidence?
The Batman doesn't care. I love his nonchalance. I know it's like his whole thing, but that might be where I'm like, nah, this Batman stuff isn't for me anymore.
It's a murder weapon. Killed Mitchell with it.
He barely looked at it. Dang, he's smooth.
Maybe this is all coming to an end.
What is the Batman?
Well, good thing your name is Vengeance.
You're a good cop.
Aw, work besties.
Bruce Wayne.
You can see the disappointment and resolve on Bat's face. That little mouth twitch, the glance up to the cameras, you can hear his inner monologue telling him it's over. What a bait and switch that works so well when we learn that Riddler truly thought he and Bats were aligned, so they both would be lamenting the failure to get Bruce Wayne.
You
Your mask is amazing.
Compliments! And agreed.
I'm looking at the real you right now.
See, he gets it. Bruce Wayne is the disguise.
All it takes is fear and a little focused violence.
Oof. Maybe a little vengeance, too?
You're a pathetic psychopath.
So is this just a British guy trying to do an American accent thing? He and Bale say psychopath the same way?
That murdering psychopath.
Psychopath. Anyway, I'm not sure if he's trying to egg on Riddler to figure out the next step, or if he's truly being defensive because the Riddler is, well, kind of right. But either way, I love how they are pushing each other's buttons.
You mean you didn't figure it out?
I think we all knew there was more to the plan, but this build-up with the strings and Riddler's realization is just...
Oh, you're really not as smart as I thought you were.
Well, have you seen his scars? There's no way he doesn't have some kind of blunt force trauma and probably a TBI. So, since Alfred and Bruce have never found his parents' actual killer, it's safe to assume this isn't the gun that shot his parents cut in half and turned into a batarang knife bat symbol. Makes a cool knife, though.
It's a Tucker.
Yeah, Tuckers have a way of really ruining everything. Like, everything. Who doesn't love a good detective story reveal? And the idea that Riddler left everything there for him to solve the case, but Bats is just too inexperienced at this point in his career.
Thanks for all the comments, and a special thanks to everyone for the tips on detonators.
Structured exactly like a Twitch streamer. Perfect. When it's not a propaganda video, he doesn't use his acting voice.
It's corruption, it's perversion, masquerading under the guise of renewal.
This whole video is when I started to actually feel freaked out. There's something so real about this. Too real. It's an incredibly well done scene that sort of starts as a dunk on some online communities, but ends leaving you with the realization that in a movie about crime and costumes and superheroes, the scariest piece is actually the most realistic one. Yike. I enjoy that Arkham is a place where he can watch it all. Maybe not realistic, but after that manifesto delivery, I need a comic booky supervillain palate cleanser. But then we're back to almost too real here. Reeves is doing a great job at making me feel super uneasy. The cultic behavior is so well showcased. The Riddler wears glasses because he has poor eyesight, but they all get his clear-rimmed glasses too because it's part of the idolization and Kool-Aid. She's lucky they're clearly teched LARPers who have no idea what they're doing. And just for the record, regular LARPing seems like tons of fun. Sorry y'all often get lumped in with these types. Batman drops huge shards of glass on civilians, but who cares? Look at this controlled explosion. And he probably knew it was breakaway glass anyway. No bullets, just grappling hooks into people and then using those hooked people as counterweights. No bullets. Again, I'm just wondering how many of the Batman's opponents often wish for death. After the Dano Creepo Fest, it's nice to see Bats just going bananas and cracking some skulls. And if you're ever wondering why these fights feel a little different, it's the lack of cuts. 7 to 10 seconds doesn't seem like a long time, but it's eons in fight choreography, and there are a few of them. No capes! I can't say if this is the first time it's happened, but you want to talk realism? Goons are gonna snap you down with your cape constantly. But I'm conflicted because I still think we should introduce capes into everyday society. Yep, I guess he never said he couldn't use a gun as a melee weapon. Yeah, I mean, the bat armor is dope, but a shotty to the chest is, at bare minimum, gonna make things uncomfortable and slow you down a tad. Catwoman to the rescue! More superhero smoochin'. Venom? Did he just use venom, or is it adrenaline? I'm gonna go with venom since it's green. Yeah, that's what you get when you go after the snuggle buddy of a superhero.
I'm Vengeance.
Snap, got him. Probably a good time to come up with a real name now. Did you realize they'd been setting this up the entire movie? It basically hasn't stopped raining. Like, at all. Ever. It's always raining. And even the news was talking about it.
Cutting funds for vital projects like our seawall.
Future Robin? This is the second time he's looked out for this kid, and that time he was just Bruce Wayne. So if anyone knows Batman's identity, it's the kid who has had this dude stare into his soul three times now. And notice that he's the first one to accept Batman's help while everyone else is still unsure if he's a good guy or a bad guy. That's a badass mayor right there. She's got a gut wound. This shot. Batman leading the people away from the danger, out of the darkness with his red and black colors. An image that he'll come to embrace more after he's had time to digest the events of the last few days. And it's not lost on me that he cut this wire falling to his death, Vengeance's death, to then come out reborn, baptized by water, and emerging as a beacon that I'll talk more about in the conclusion. And this crossfaded into the flooded city with Kurt bringing us home. This movie is so out of time. Nirvana plants us in the 90s, the detective noir is in the 30s, the tech is modern day. It's a timeline all its own. Someone save that dog! Oh no, I think he's okay. He's just out for a little swim. I am stoked that Cobblepot is still kicking and ready to mess stuff up in his new flooded playground. Which, yeah, that would be great for a penguin.
Together, we will learn to believe in Gotham again.
And perhaps even believe in Harvey Dent?
I have had an effect here. But not the one I intended.
Oof, that's some introspection from a superhero.
Vengeance
won't change the past.
All it takes is fear and a little focused violence.
And I like that the Riddler helped him get here, to realize that he needs to be more than vengeance if he wants to change the city, that he needs to be the Batman and do more than make everyone afraid with broken face bones.
People need hope.
And he's not wrong, even if it's odd that it seems like this was a revelation for him. The way he looks at the woman holding his arm as if he'd never even considered he could do more than strike fear into people's hearts. It's a perfect contrast to this first interaction with a civilian he saved using a little focused violence.
Please don't hurt me.
And I get it, Batman is a symbol of fear, but as not Peter Sarsgaard's current wife, but Tom Cruise's ex-wife said, it's not who you are underneath, it's what you do that defines you. And look at him not even covering his eyes from the sun or squinting. Or sparkling, he's real dirty. King Shark's monologue is creepy. That's who's in the next cell, right? King Shark? JK, JK, I know it's Druig.
Riddle me this. The less of them you have,
the worse. Snacks! Oh, right, a friend. Man, I'm 0 for 3 on these.
Don't you ever just say hello?
Literally never. I think it's beneath him. The Batman also doesn't eat, drink, or poop. He's the hero Gotham deserves, but not the one it needs.
It's gonna kill you eventually, you know that.
He does. That's kind of part of the thing he's working through right now. Billionaire orphans will literally dress up as bats and punch criminals instead of going to therapy.
The bat and the cat.
Do it. What are you even thinking? Do it, my guy. Remember I said before that the caged bat would be why I quit? No, this is why. Peace, Gotham. Bike flirting. He's sad. He don't want to admit it, but he's sad. Ah, but still that slight little Bo Burnham smirk at the end right there. Hey, he'll be alright. Ha! This is pretty great. The site's been seized. At no point did I hope that Batman was coming to an end. I never wished it was shorter, and I didn't feel like it skimped on anything either. The film used its runtime to properly unfold a good story. It's a mystery, and it plays out like one. But before we get into the heady stuff, there are a few rapid-fire details I initially cut for time, but then I split it up. The way his pounding footsteps and camera angle introduce him as a villain, this 30-second long take following bats from the entrance of the Iceberg Lounge to the second confrontation, a newspaper calling him the Caped Crusader, the way he towers over all the cops as bats but seems hunched as Bruce, the shots with the camera stuck to the outside of the Batmobile, the claustrophobia of the attack on the funeral with the gunshots only heard from the inside, this silent scream the forensic photographer doesn't notice the weirdly shaped blood splatter until Bats does, this moment where we see he's still a little afraid of heights, the Riddler's beta saw devices, his greasy eye makeup, and finally the setup from earlier that cutting the electrical line wouldn't kill him. One of the things that makes it hard to connect with this version of Batman is also a definite strength. Pattinson brings a nihilistic angst to Bats that isn't there in the previous film versions. He's detached in a way that it's almost hard for me to imagine that he actually cares for Alfred. I know he does, he shows us that he does, but at times it almost feels like it would be impossible for him. But it's a strength for the character because it plays perfectly into who Vengeance is. It's hard to talk about this as a win, but there is something very grimly on point about having Pattinson's Batman theme, as it were, be by a tortured artist who ultimately took his own life. Something in the way haunts this film and genuinely helps Pattinson seem disconnected in a way that makes you realize he is genuinely struggling. And I know I poked fun at the comparison between homeless Kurt and billionaire Bruce, but take note of the exact moment the first time the song kicks in. It's as if his heart sank seeing another kid in his position. And we know it's diegetic since he turns it down later. He's feeling it. I know I touched on it in the main section a bit, but another hard pill to swallow in this movie is that Matt Reeves finally gave us a Batman detective story and made Batman a pretty okay detective rather than the world's greatest detective. Hard pill, but also an appropriate one because this movie is mainly about Batman's transformation from Vengeance into Batman. But it ends up meaning that Riddler pretty much wins. A few of the details are foiled. I mean, he ultimately thought Bats would be on his side, and that led to his shooting gallery getting taken out. But his overall plan worked. The city is flooded. What Riddler didn't know is that he was creating a scenario that led to Batman taking his true form, realizing that there is more that his symbol can do. And look, I got some pushback about criticizing Batman's lack of resource use to help Gotham, but I'm not just saying that. The new mayor calls him out for it.
Your family has a history of philanthropy, but as far as I can tell, you're not doing anything.
The idea that you can't just throw money at problems to fix them is, like, fine, sure, it's not exactly that simple, except when it is? And he could make sure kids don't starve by writing a check. That's what renewal was before it was corrupted after Thomas Wayne died. The irony that so much of this, the Riddler himself, could have been prevented if someone, obviously not adolescent Bruce Wayne at first, but if someone could have kept it under control, the orphanage would have been funded and no babies would have died from cold. And once Bruce was old enough, he squandered his chance to make change in that regard. But that's not the whole point I'm trying to make here. The fact that Bruce isn't helping perfectly reflects what he sees as Vengeance's purpose. It's not to inspire hope or to help those in need. It's to crush the bad. It's to stop the creation of more orphans. Obviously, that isn't working since the movie opens with a kid losing his dad. So his pivot to the light in the end isn't just because he got his butt handed to him by Riddler, it's because he realizes that even if he'd won, he's still not improving the city. Going forward, it seems like that will be his goal. The second time something in the way kicks in is after Vengeance is dead and Batman has been born, and you realize that the something in the way this time was Vengeance. It was Batman's need to make the city pay for his parents' death when there was so much more he could be doing. But even if he's not the world's greatest detective, it's still a phenomenal detective film, and my favorite part of that is his relationship with Gordon. Jeffrey Wright isn't bad in anything, but dang it, he really nailed this. They have an odd couple thing going, but at the same time, it's like these two against the world? Even Selina doesn't really get Bats. Well, that's not fair. She does get him, she just thinks he should change. Either way, Zoe Kravitz does an excellent job with Selina, even if I would have liked to see more of her as Catwoman. She and Pattinson had genuine chemistry. And then there's a guy who thought he had great chemistry with Bats, but sadly was just glomming onto a parasocial relationship that would never be. Paul Dano swings for the fences and hits it out of the park. There is something unnervingly real about his Riddler. At times, Pattinson feels like he could actually exist, and then you see him next to a member of the National Guard, and his costume seems silly and impractical. But Riddler could exist. Honestly, Riddler does exist, and while the Nolan Batman films were always trying to be based in reality, I think this might be the first Batman film villain that truly is. So, did we need another Batman movie so soon? Yeah, why not? Who cares? With the success and oversaturation of the MCU and all universes at this point, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more movies like this, tucked in their own little worlds with their own little genres and tone. Movies like The Suicide Squad and Deadpool that don't care about anything outside their own movies, or Logan, where it puts a nail in the coffin of its own universe. I think it's genuinely fun to see what different writers, directors, and actors can do with these parts. It doesn't need to be so rigid. I mean, honestly, if we're turning Jim's version of Reed Richards into spaghetti, let's mix it up. Don't you want to see Abby Jacobson as Huntress, or Terry Crews as Bane, or Sam Richardson as anyone, literally anyone? He could be any character in Marvel or DC, and I'd think, yeah, he's gonna kill it. I guess what I'm saying is that for a pretty serious and grim film, the Batman really makes me excited about the possibilities of comic book movies. Give me a one-off A24-style indie Green Arrow film starring Scoot McNairy. Actually, that sounds awesome. Maybe Abby Jacobson could be Black Canary. What? Abby Jacobson rocks. But that's the Batman. Tomorrow, a special Christmas video with the Gremlins. Up on Nebula already if you want to sign up.
Where will you go?
I don't know. Upstate? Bloodhaven, maybe.